this afternoon.
Hebrews chapter 11. And I believe we began at verse number 27. We stopped at 26, I believe, last Sunday. So Hebrews 11, 27. Let's read the verse number 27, 28, and 29. Hebrews 11, 27, 28, 29. Let's begin together at verse number 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. All right, verse 27, by faith he, who's the he referred to here? Moses, all right, it's Moses. Forsook Egypt. What does it mean, forsook? What's that mean?
He left Egypt.
He left. Oh, he left it. He got out of there. And if you remember, what was the condition of the Jews in Egypt when they left? What was their condition?
They were slaves.
That's right. In fact, they asked to go out to the wilderness to sacrifice. And so what did the king say of them because of that reason, that request?
They said they could go.
Well,
which time you mean?
Well, no, the very first time when they asked to go the first time. Was he pleasant?
No.
He was angry. In fact, he took away the straw to make the bricks. They had to get their own stubble to go ahead. The amount of bricks still had to be the same. We read this morning in our Bible reading. So it says he forsook Egypt, and not fearing the wrath of the king. Who is that king? What was another name for the king in Egypt? Pharaoh, right? He's one of the pharaohs. And not fearing the wrath. Why was the king wrathful?
Well, he didn't want them to go. He wanted them to work and be slaves.
Yes, free labor.
Yeah.
They built Ramesses and various other cities, and the tremendous work they did as the slaves. How long were the Jews in Egypt, roughly? Over 400 years. That's right, over 400 years.
Ooh.
And first of all, it was peaceful. Joseph was down there, and the Pharaoh was very friendly to Joseph. He put him ahead of the famine for seven years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. But then there arose a king that knew not Joseph. So that he was very harsh on the Jews and the Israelites. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. What does that mean, to endure?
Put up with,
all right. And is it good to be enduring even today for Christian believers? Should we endure?
Yes, we should.
Yes, we should endure. It means that, not only put up with it, but sort of almost in a strong way, just not half-hearted way, but just peacefully, but strong, and not worrying about the wrath of the king. As seeing him who is invisible, how does that happen? How can you see someone's invisible? What does that mean?
By faith.
By faith, all right. So, there's a seeing by faith and a seeing by sight. Two kinds of seeing, am I right? And you can see beyond today as God does see. By faith we can see and behold and recognize in that sense, not with our eyes. That's interesting. Seeing him who is invisible. Then in verse 28, it says he kept the Passover. What was the Passover?
Well, that was the last plague that the Lord put on the Egyptians. The firstborn son would be killed.
All right.
Die.
At that time.
Yeah.
And the Passover, what happened at the Passover? What was Moses told to do?
Moses was told to put blood on the doorposts.
All right.
Outside of each home.
Okay, before he puts the blood there, that's true, but if back up a little bit, that's what he's finally said. But what was he told to do? What animal was he to slay? A lamb, or a lamb. Was it to take any lamb, any place, any time?
Spotless.
Keep it 4 days. From the 10th day to the 14th day. Look it over. Make sure it had no blemishes. Then what was he do?
To kill it.
Kill the lamb. And then Bill said, what else?
Put the blood with hyssop on the doorposts.
All right. What part of the doorposts?
Two sides and the top.
Top and two sides. Picture of the cross, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, John MacArthur says blood doesn't mean blood, it's just a metonym and figure speech for death.
Well, we're glad he's not the pastor here.
Yeah, glad he's not the pastor. But in the Passover, Aren't there two phases to this? The killing of the lamb,
yes.
And then putting the applying the blood.
Yes.
See, the death and the blood. There are many things that God says that are accomplished by the blood of Christ. 14 different things, and not simply the death. He shed his blood in his death. That's true. Yeah, Anna.
Well, a lot of passages don't make sense if you substitute the word death for blood.
You're right. Doesn't make sense at all. I don't know why a man of his intelligence, and he has plenty of intelligence, John MacArthur, would try to say that. See, when God says the word blood, which is the Greek word haima, and then the word death, the Greek word thanatos, they're different words. And when God says it, we've got to believe it and accept it as it is. So, yes, Nick.
Well, Hebrews 9, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Yeah, exactly.
And also in, go ahead, I can't think of it.
Yes.
Romans 3.
Romans
3. Whom God has set forth.
To be appreciated.
To be a propitiation.
His faith in his blood.
Faith in his blood.
We set forth the appreciation for our sin. That's right. That's so. It's very important. So he kept the Passover. Now, who told him to keep the Passover?
God did.
God did. God told him. Take a lamb, 10th day, look at it, make sure it's clean and all right till the 14th day, and then a lamb for each family. Remember, each family had a lamb, and they put the lamb, and they could invite their friends in to the house and the home, and. And the sprinkling of blood. Again, Bill said, where's that sprinkling of blood at, Bill?
On the doorposts.
Which parts?
The sides and the top.
Sides and the top. Okay, so the sprinkling of blood. God told him to do that. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn. Who destroyed the firstborn?
The death angel.
The death angel. That's right, the death angel. Firstborn only of the poor people. Firstborn,
everybody,
including Pharaoh's own home, and
except the Jews. But they had to have the blood.
When he sees the blood of this Passover lamb, I will pass over you, as it says. And so he did. He accepted those that, by faith, applied the blood of this lamb upon the doorpost, top and bottom, lest the dirt should touch them, so they believe. All right, and then how many plagues were there in Egypt? 10 plagues, that's right. And at which plague did Pharaoh say, get out?
The last one.
The last one, the 10th one, which was the death of the firstborn. And the animals and all, people. And then did Pharaoh change his mind?
Yes.
He did change his mind. Mm-hmm. Well, how did he change his mind? What made him change his mind, I wonder?
He thought, we can't let him go.
Yeah, it's free labor, and look at all they're building all these cities. And so he told his army to go get him. And then in verse 29, we see what happens next. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as of by dry land. What was the Red Sea?
Body of water.
Body of water. Now, what did the moderate liberal apostates say this body of water was?
The Reed Sea.
The Reed Sea. What did they say about the depth of the Reed Sea?
5 or 6 inches.
5 or 6 inches. Now, we'll see the last word of this verse says the saying to do so were drowned.
Drowned in 6 inches of water.
6 inches of water. Now see, somebody's got right. Anna?
So they just decided to all lay down there, put their face in the water.
Face in the 6 inches of water. See, so this does not add up. We believe the Bible is clear. The Bible is very plain that this was a sea that, it says, as by dry land, passed through the sea. What did God do to that Red Sea?
Parted.
And what was on the right and what was on the left? Water. The wall of water. And how many Israelites, men, came out of Egypt?
600,000,
plus women and children. So several millions. And as long as the waters were on right and left, what did the Israelites do?
Kept going.
They kept walking right through that, as by dry land, as it says here. And the Egyptians saw that with all this, so let's go after them. And is saying or trying, what does a saying mean?
Attempting,
trying. What happens then when there is Egyptians when there?
As soon as Israel was across.
As soon as Israel crossed,
water walls fell.
Water walls fell and drowned the whole group of those. And therefore some chariot wheels were found in different things. It's like different ones, people found these chariot wheels in some places in the area. Yes, Dick?
I think there's something we can learn from that. Remember, God told Moses when these Israelites were at the border, at the shore of the Dead Sea, Red Sea, mm-hmm. and the Egyptians behind, nowhere to turn on the right or the left, mm-hmm. what did God tell Moses to do? He didn't tell them to get busy and build a bunch of rafts and start swimming and whatever else. Yeah. What did he tell them to do? Stand still mm-hmm. and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
And I think that's a lesson for us.
Yes.
You know, when we get in a jam and we pray about it, and sometimes we, you know, we're anxiety, why don't we just learn to stand still and yes. see the salvation of the Lord?
That's right, and that's exactly what Moses did. Absolutely. Now, it says, verse 27, where we began, by faith he forsaked. What is there about by faith that caused him to forsake Egypt? Why is this by faith?
Because it wasn't logical.
All right. It wasn't logical how he could get all those people out of there with the king not wanting them to go out. What did they borrow before they left? What did they borrow?
Gold
and silver and jewels and everything. And with those, they were able to make the tabernacle. All this gold and silver in the tabernacle. So they borrowed it by faith. They forsook Egypt. Now, the miracles were performed by Moses. The miracles were performed by Moses. What did the people of Israel do at first? You remember when they put the rod down, it became a serpent. Put the hand inside, it was leprous, came out, it was perfect. And so on. Put the water, the Red Sea, turned to blood. When they saw these miracles, what did the people originally say?
The magicians were doing the same thing.
The magicians were the same thing. But what else did the people say? That's right, they just said it. But what did the Israelites say?
They were grumbling, weren't they?
Well, to start with, they were happy. But as soon as Moses made the first claim, let's go into the wilderness, and then they went with rigor, they had to get their own straw, then they were angry. Why did you do this? Why did you bring it? Why did you bring us upon? See? But to start with, they were very happy. Oh, it's wonderful. We're going to go. Everything's peaceful. But it didn't go so peaceful, did it? Then in verse number 28, it says, through faith, he kept the Passover. What was there about faith that did that? Why? By faith.
So is it natural to sacrifice a lamb and,
right.
and then put the blood on the doorpost and lintel on and make sure everyone was in the house?
So it was by faith in God's promise that he's going to destroy the ones that didn't do this. So by faith they kept the Passover. Then this 20th verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. How's that by faith? What is there about faith that they passed through there?
Well, it was all water there first on here before it opened up on here. So when it opened up, they had to have faith that the water was going to stay back on either side so they could go through.
Yes. So it's a faithful situation where God performed this miracle. They went across as by drowning. So it's by faith. It's a faith situation. Any other comments on Moses, these first few verses before us, before we go on to Joshua? Well, let's read verses 30, 31, and 32 together. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab had searched out with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And when shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. All right, verse number 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. How is that by faith?
Well, they didn't exactly go at it with a pickaxe.
All right, so what happened? What did God tell Joshua to do?
Compass the city.
Compass the city. Means walk around it. How many days?
Seven.
7 days. And the seventh day?
7 days, go around
seven times.
Several times. And what did he do?
And
shout. And blow the trumpet and shout. When the trumpet was blown and the shout was made, what happened to the walls of Jericho?
It fell
down. Except one part of the wall didn't fall down. What part was that?
Rahab.
Where Rahab the harlot was. God protected her as she hid the spies that went out to spy the land. The walls of Jericho. We had a Bible study. Yeah, Dan.
But she also bound the scarlet cord in the window.
Yes.
That was
as a marker to mark the place where
she didn't have the scarlet cord in the window, it was sure house would have fallen too.
Yes. Who did she invite into her house with her?
Her family.
So they did not perish with the rest of those in Jericho. And so she hid the spies. They talked about they spied out the land, and the walls fell. We, in our Bible study years ago, we had a lady, we talked about this in Jericho. We were talking about Joshua, who was in the Bible studies. On Thursday nights, we used to have Bible studies through Genesis, right on through. And she was so much disbelieving in this, she left the class and never came back. How can anybody fall, make walls fall down like that? She doesn't want to believe that crazy stuff. So she left. It's interesting. Different. In fact, I think somebody recently, maybe Dan and Tammy, they went to one of the Sunday school classes, one of the churches around. Weren't they studying?
It wasn't too recently.
What was that?
It wasn't too recently.
Okay, well, tell me about that. Wasn't it something about this, Joshua?
You was it about ethics of something about where Rahab?
She should lie.
Did she lie or not? Was it right for her to lie?
Uh-huh.
When the people came, the authorities came to her house and asking her if she had seen the spies, seen the people from out of town come, and so they were the question whether it was ethical for them to lie. And there was also, I think the sentence would be one of the people there also was questioning whether or not the walls could fall down.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of questioning that as well. So there were two things that were going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Questioning whether the walls had completely fallen, and whether or not it was Rahab did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the men that came 2 weeks ago, right after the service, asked me that same question. What about Rahab? Was it right to lie? So, and there are many lies in the Old Testament. Let's go into some of the lies that were told.
The old prophet.
Yes, he lied.
Eve.
So that's not touch of God didn't say that. Yeah, Anna?
David lied to the priest.
David lied to the
Saul
priest.
Saul sent me on a mission.
That's right, he lied to the priest.
Saul lied to Jonathan about saying that David would be safe.
Yes, why? He's Jonathan, yes, Dad.
The wife lied that made the son say it was Esau and wrapped him up in a...
Yes.
Was that a lie?
Yeah, that's right. The wife made it lie. But also Jacob himself. When Isaac said, "Are you my son Esau?" Jacob said, "Yes." He said it twice. "Are you my son Esau?" Yeah. He lied. A lot of lies in the Bible. Yeah, Hannah?
Laban, well, it was basically a lie.
Yes.
He gave Leah
instead of Rachel as the wife. He lied.
And Rebecca and Isaac, when they went into the land of the Philistines.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is she my sister? She's my sister, son of my wife.
I mean, we don't know for sure that Rebecca lied, but...
But Abraham lied, and then Isaac lied. Both those fellows. Mm-hmm. They said it's your sister, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of lies. Now, does that make lies Christian?
No.
No, it doesn't make it Christian. But you see that they did this in order for a purpose.
It makes the Bible true.
It makes the Bible true. It's accurate. It's what people do, what people... Well, now, let me ask you this thing. If Rahab had not said that the men had left, what would the Jerichoites done to the men that were there?
Kill them.
They would have killed them. So, in other words, a certain thing. I wonder if David and Goliath, I'm just trying to think, I don't know if there's any lies there particularly. Goliath didn't think David was going to do anything. Yeah,
would there be any way that Rahab could have diverted them without actually saying that, without lying?
Possibly. See, there's all different things of ways. So, but the thing about it is, when you, for instance, if a couple of armed robbers comes into your home and we're going to kill you and anyone else that's in the house, and you know that two or three children are in the house upstairs, for example, they ask a question about, see, now there are certain things you it's none of their business who's in the house. They have no business even asking the question. How are you going to answer to it? In other words, you want to spare the children. You say the children. So there's certain things. It doesn't mean lying is right. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This is no question. But there's certain circumstances where questions that should not be asked are asked of you. And answers should not be answered.
Certain things shouldn't be done, so questions wouldn't be asked.
Yeah, it's true.
Dishonesty leads to dishonesty.
Yeah, that's true. So what I'm saying is it doesn't make it right In fact, it says in the book of Ephesians, lie not one to another. Put off the old man of the deed. So we have a Christian standard that we have to follow. And it's unfortunate that people come and ask questions they should not ask. One answer would be, no comment.
None of your business.
No comment or none of your whatever.
I can't say.
Okay, just say no comment. No comment. Comment on answer that, did it?
Another classic answer would be, why would you want to know?
Yeah, why would you want to know? That's right. So, certain ways of answering are fine. Any other comments on the Joshua by faith? Walls fell down. Compass about 7 days. Arena, did we get there? Anna?
Well, sometimes if you divert the question, then they might assume that you're trying to hide something.
That could be. That could be.
It's like sometimes when people take the fifth, they would say that, oh, they must be guilty because they took the fifth.
Mm-hmm. Fifth Amendment.
Here's not that. Case,
okay. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Give us a question. Say hello. Good to hear from you. So, by faith, it covers the Bible. And Rahab perished not for them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. What did the spies make Rahab promise them? Remember?
She wouldn't say anything.
Don't say that we can't. Why were those two spies in there? What were they doing?
They were spying out the land.
Spying out the land. 40 years before that, how many spies did they send into the land?
12.
How many had good report and how many had bad report?
Two.
Two good report, 10 bad report. Yeah. So this time, Joshua didn't waste any time, just sent two. And that's all needed. And it was a good report. It was, well, they can do it, we can take over the city. And so she compassed 7 days, the walls fell down, and she received the spies with peace. And if you don't tell anything about our business, you'll be spared. And that's exactly what happened. And left on this red whatever it was.
Cord,
the red cord in the window. So we know where you are and where your family's going to be.
Did you mention that was the cord that they escaped on?
I didn't mention that.
Is that the cord they escaped on?
Yes.
They fell down, yes. I guess.
Yeah, they said, yeah. That was the response that they had, you know, leave us lying in the window, mm-hmm. otherwise we're free from our oath. I believe.
Now, let's look at Joshua, see if you can find that they escaped on that cord. I don't recall that. What was that?
Joshua chapter 2.
I don't recall. That doesn't mean it's not true. I just don't remember that. Joshua judges Ruth.
Joshua 2.
What was that?
Joshua chapter 2.
Okay, what verse says that? Pray for the spies.
Verse 15, it says she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on reading the verse 18.
Verse 18.
Then it says this line of scarlet thread.
Mm-hmm. Good.
In the window.
Which I let us down. Absolutely right. They let down them by this cord. Put that same cord when we come to see. All right, any other question on that one? Yvonne?
Do you remember that we saw the Jericho wall falling down?
I don't remember that.
Did you mention?
No, I didn't mention. I don't remember.
The wall wasn't there at all. It was all disintegrated and everything.
And then they see where
we saw the mustard plant.
Okay, and did they show where the foundation of the wall was?
Probably something. They said this is what it's supposed to be here.
Okay.
Yep. You gotta look that up.
Jericho was rebuilt, was it not?
Yes, this was. So there was the ruins underneath it.
There's been rebuilt. Several times.
We should look and see, because I remember standing there.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see any wall. I don't even remember if there's any foundation or anything. It just said this is where they say.
That's where the guide said.
There
were
a few places that were true, you know, that weren't just traditional things that are actually true.
There are a few of them.
We should.
Usually the Holy Land, they had two of everything. Two gardens of Gethsemane, two Calvaries, two upper rooms. You know, you don't know which is which. Yeah, Bill?
In the last few years, archaeologists have been doing excavations in Jericho, and the original walls they have found. They've uncovered them, and they found that the walls were not pushed in, they were not pushed out, they just dropped.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scientific fact now.
Mm-hmm. And we stood there.
Yeah.
I can't remember too much.
I'm glad you remember that. I was there with you, but some things I remember, some things I don't remember. Any other comments on the walls right here? Dick?
On the wall, on rehab. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that the Old Testament, as we know, is God's dealing basically with Israel. Mm-hmm. But there were two notable examples where he dealt with Gentiles. And this is one, Rahab. The other, of course, being Ruth, the Moabites.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the third one, through the line of...
Wasn't Rahab in the line?
Yeah, also was it Bathsheba? David.
She was an Israelite, wasn't she?
Yes.
Her husband was.
Uriah the Hittite. I'm not sure.
Bathsheba's not either, but Ruth and Rahab are. They're in the line.
No, they're in the line.
It says she that had been the wife of Uriah.
Yeah, she was in the line.
And then they're turning around.
Yeah. Bathsheba's the mother of Solomon.
Yeah, there are three women in the line, and all three of them had stains upon them in some way. What is it?
Tamar.
Okay.
I've forgotten. There's four women in the line.
Oh, there four?
That's interesting. Tamar was that the son of
Judah's daughter, wife of Pharaoh's
son. Okay.
All right. So, did we read 30? We read the. Did we take care of 31? I guess Rahab perished.
Yeah, we read through 32.
Yeah, through 32. All right, then 32. There's a whole bunch of other people that had faith. Who was the first one?
Gideon.
What is Gideon's faith? What does that have to do?
Everyone remembers the fleece.
Remember the fleece? He asked for a special sign. Two signs. What one? What's the second? Not necessarily in order, but what are the two
door,
different?
Like
what
is
that?
A fleece? A fleece? Door, or
well, what you have in
a fleece? Or a wet fleece? A damp fleece or a dry fleece?
If it's wet, all the others dry. Or if it's dry and all the others wet. The two different things. The first sign. Yeah, Anna? What is it?
I'm trying to remember Gideon. Was he one of the men of the trumpets?
Yeah, 300 men, so...
How many did you start with?
I don't remember.
I think about 10,000.
Yeah, and then whoever was afraid was supposed to go home.
Yes.
And then whoever didn't... Whoever went and put their whole face in the water...
To drink.
As opposed to cupping the fish.
Cupping with the hand to see your eyes out there like this. Say, looking.
And then there were only 300 left. Huge army, like 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And
6-1, 10-1,
300 taking on 10,000. Well, that sounds pretty scary.
It sure
does. So it would require a lot of faith because mm-hmm. God said, you're going to have victory.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take a lot of faith to believe that 300 could defeat.
And only God could do it, yes.
And at night, he was told to do what? Around the enemy camp.
Break lanterns.
300 men were surround, take a lantern and a trumpet, am I right?
And they had a pitcher. They had a pitcher over the lamp. And then they were supposed to break it mm-hmm. and blow the trumpets and shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Sword of the Lord of Gideon. And the whole army thought that they were surrounded completely. What did they do?
They went crazy and
struck each other and killed each other, so forth.
What was the Joshua 5th? We have Joshua 5th and wall. Gideon.
The Battle of Jericho. Joshua 5th and Battle of Jericho.
Why was he going around that wall for? I can't remember.
Joshua?
Gideon.
He wasn't
going around the wall.
There was no wall there.
No wall for Gideon. They had the enemy camp.
What did he do?
He surrounded the enemy campfire.
The Assyrians had... been oppressing Israel.
Okay.
And I think it was the Assyrians, or was it somebody
else?
Okay,
Gideon.
It could have been somebody else.
I just forget.
All right, so Gideon is one man of faith, did what God said he was supposed to do, and God brought him out. What about Barak? What happened there?
Deborah was the one that kind of helped him along.
Deborah and Barak were judges, weren't they? All right.
But she's not listed here.
No.
Barak was afraid to go without. He was afraid to go alone.
But he went.
And that's how the women are left out, even though they do a lot of the work.
Yes, sometimes the women are not mentioned in Scripture. That's true.
I think she would be in here, though.
And he defeated the enemy, Barak and Deborah.
Well, it's interesting that Barak is mentioned, because people probably think that he didn't have a lot of faith because he needed to have Deborah go along with him.
People would have already known that Deborah would have had faith. So
Deborah kill Sisera?
No, it was a woman.
He's the Hebrew
that put a nail in his temples.
That's right. It was in that same general battle, was it not?
It's very interesting.
That was in the Battle of Barak and Deborah, in that same battle.
No, I don't think so.
Wasn't that same battle?
The king, Sisera, came into Jael's tent.
Yes.
And she gave him a glass of milk.
And when he asked for water, so the milk put him to sleep.
A lordly dish.
And then he said to stand guard, and if anybody came and asked if he was there, she was supposed to say no. Or so she, instead of standing guard, she drove a tent peg through his head. And then when Bear came along, she told him that Sisera was there.
Mm-hmm. So it was the same time where Barak and Sisera and Deborah were judges. That same.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was trying to think. That's not the one where the mother waited and waited for her son to come.
Well, I think about it. Where is he? Where is
yes,
the son?
Yes,
it's
a song.
It's a song.
I felt sorry for that mother.
Yes.
Song of Deborah.
Where is my son? I'm so waiting so long for him to come back.
The king's mother?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Sisera met his fate. All right, that's...
I want to talk about Barak a little more. I think it's very interesting that he is here. It's very interesting, because we're made to think like he couldn't do a thing without Deborah.
Well, they both were judges, co-judges, and did the work together.
Judges 4. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time.
Yep,
and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment.
She was a judge.
She just encouraged Barak, so women have a place of encouragement. And she also had a place where people came.
Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail, verse 21. Song of Deborah and Barak.
Does it say he judged or not?
No, it never says that he judged.
Barak pursued after the chariot.
He sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kiev.
Well, 4:4 says the caption, Deborah and Barak, the fourth and fifth judges.
Yes, what caption?
The caption of the old Schofield record.
That was Schofield's word, not God's word.
Well, see if his finding is a judge. Obviously, he was mentioned there.
No, it doesn't.
I don't remember him being a judge, maybe he was.
No, I don't think he was. He never said that he judged.
Well, it says Deborah and Barak, so he's there together somewhere.
Deborah judged.
And then chapter 5 is the song of Deborah and Barak.
He was a general.
Deborah and Barak had a song together.
Yes, in verse 28 of chapter 5, this is what you were talking about. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried to the lads, "Why is the chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot?"
Uh-huh. So apparently Barak was the general for Deborah the prophetess. She judged Israel at that time. All right. So that's Barak. Any other things on Barak? Who's this third man that's mentioned in verse 32? We're going to stop at verse 32.
Samson.
No, before Samson.
No.
Oh, Samson, you're right. Absolutely, Samson. What about Samson? What was his pedigree?
He was chasing women, in particular the Philistine women.
Chasing the Philistine
Nazarite
women.
His mother was very glad he was born.
Yes, he was a Nazarite. And brought up, and what was true about his hair?
It was not supposed to be cut.
Not supposed to be cut? And what else about the vow of the Nazarite?
He wasn't supposed to drink
any fruit of the vine, anything at all?
That means anything.
Grapes, anything. Yeah. Grapes, anything, the fruit of the vine.
So he
sinned with all these women, and finally, he's another one that lied. Who did he lie to?
Delilah.
Delilah. What was the question that Delilah asked him?
Where's your strength?
Where's the source of your strength? He lied once, twice, I guess three times maybe. Fourth time he told her, or probably the third time. And what did she do when she found out the truth?
She cut his hair.
So she had a couple of barbers come in, shrimp for his head, and that made him weak as any other man. So they made sport of him, they put him in the temple, they made him grind around, remember, with the oxen. And finally, in the temple of Philistines, what did he ask the little young lad?
Where the pillar was.
Where's the pillar on which this whole building stands? Thousands of them gathered. Did the boy tell him where the pillar was? So he was blind, went to the pillar, and the hair had grown, the strength got back. What did he do with the pillar?
He prayed and asked the Lord to give him the strength one last time,
and God did it, and pulled down those pillars, the whole house fell down, and he slew more Philistines at his death than he did in his life. So that's Samson, a man who got off into the flesh, but yet who got used at the end also. We're going to stop right there. We'll take up Jephthah.
She had her hand.
Oh, who did?
That's just a comment.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, Delilah, she was a real liar, too.
She's a real liar.
She was trying to make him think she just wanted to know.
Yeah, just wanted to know.
But
yeah, she's a liar. So many liars in the church.
In mind for him.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Any other comments, questions before?
Do you want to finish the verse, or are we
going to... Well, I'd say it's too much entangled. It's too many... you know, Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. Pardon me?
Jephthah is deep.
We'll get into that next week. It'll be better.
Is that how you spell it?
No, it's
a Greek spelling.
Transliteration. Yeah, translate letter for
letter.
Any other comments or questions on the court report? Glenda Penny here with us. She's here visiting Tracy. And so she said, you've got to come to Bible study. So I'm glad she'd see you here. She got Tracy a new phone. So now she can do more things with that phone than she could with the old phone. She had nothing with the old phone. Many more things than any of us can do. But
your son's sister.
Yeah, very good sister.
I don't think.
What is it?
215.
Oh, I have 330. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This wife says 330. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have set the thing wrong. It is 215. Let's go for Jephthah. We're not very close. The questions at BFTBC.org, 836-361-9018. My wife was saying 3:30, that was wrong. You're looking at for 2:30, I'll wait for 2:30. So, all right, so what about Jephthah? Time would fail to tell about Jephthah. What vow did Jephthah make?
A foolish one.
Foolish one. On what occasion did he make the vow? Where was he coming back when he made the run?
From a victory.
A victory over the enemy.
And he said the first person who saw he would sacrifice to God.
Okay, first person that comes out to meet me. Who came out to meet him?
His daughter.
How many daughters did he have?
One.
Just one, that was the only one. So, the question is, what happened to the daughter? What happened to her after the father told her the vow that he made? What did she do then? She went out with the other women.
She wasn't a child anymore.
No, she wasn't a child. She went out with the other women of the congregation. What did she do?
Mourned her virginity.
Mourned and wailed her virginity. So that's why some of us believe that she was a virgin the rest of her life, had no children, was not married. That was the sacrifice. No progeny from that daughter. Some say he killed her. I don't know that he killed her. That's my feeling.
No, it doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that. But the vow was, I will slay and I will offer something.
What Let's look it up.
Let's look it up. All right. Jephthah, the judge.
Where is that?
Judges 11:32.
Yep.
What does it say? What was his vow?
Verse 31.
All right. What is the vow? 11:31.
We're after verse 3.
What is the vow?
You just the vow to vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering.
Okay, offer it up for burnt offering. So like an offering. Not that you think it would be death, but it could be offering as a burnt offering. No children, a virgin to the rest of her life. That could be.
Wasn't Jephthah, I mean, he was, it's just trying to remember, I was kind of looking, Wasn't he?
Wife of a harlot, wasn't he?
Yeah. And then his father had another wife. I mean, a wife. Mm-hmm. And she had a number of children. And didn't the other children reject him? Or?
Yes, I think it is.
She did his wife, their sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they first reject them. They said him, well, thou shalt not inherit. In a
five-star
shower,
it's going to be
strange for me.
Stuff like that. But then, when he wanted to fight, they said, Jethro, go do it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In chapter 11, it does this.
He probably had to fight all his life.
All right. And verse 11, Jethro went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. Jethro uttered all the words before the Lord of Israel. So they made him the captain, even though he was a disgraceful son because he was the son of a strange woman.
No, he didn't do anything wrong himself.
No, that's right. He just had a bad heritage. And so, all right, that's Jethro. So who's the next one here listed? 32.
David.
Okay, what about David? He has a big history, doesn't he?
Yep.
What's he start out as?
Shepherd,
okay. Then what happened after he was a shepherd?
He was asked to play the harp for the king.
Play the harp for the king? What was the king's name?
Samuel.
What was the king's name?
Saul.
Saul, okay. And, did he play well?
Yes.
He did play well. And then what happened to David? What did he do then?
Well, Saul became envious of him.
Yes.
He forgot about him killing Goliath.
Yeah, we've got to get last thing first.
Well, that was part of the reason.
Yeah, okay, you're right. You're absolutely. You got jealous. But what about Goliath?
He was very large.
He was large.
He said, "Fee, fi, fo, fum."
No.
That's
an Englishman.
That's a different one.
David was in English.
That's a different sentence. But what did the brothers think of David?
They didn't think he could do
anything. Who did God anoint to be the next
brother?
What is it?
He is a baby.
The baby brother. How many children did the father have?
Eight.
And he was
eight sons.
He was the seventh or eighth. The difference, the numbers have a different view from different places. But what did the other brothers think of him?
Well, he probably got his way a lot
because
he was the youngest.
Well,
what was his father's
name? There was a pit famine in the line. They said, well, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here in the middle of a war.
What was his father's name?
Jesse.
When the brothers were out fighting the Philistines, what did Jesse tell David to do?
Take some food, right?
Uh-huh. Was Jesse obedient? Was David obedient to his father? Yes, he was. When Goliath came and the other brothers...
He's not the one that got lost. Was he taking the lunch?
No, that was Joseph.
When Goliath came and the older brothers saw this young fellow coming out, what did they ask him?
What are you doing out here? You're supposed to be taking care of the sheep.
Small little sheep, a little flock.
You're spying on what's going on.
What was David's reply?
I don't know.
He asked a question, or made a statement, an exclamatory statement.
Oh, am I not supposed to be about my father's business?
Oh, no. That's New Testament. Is there not a cause?
Oh.
Is there not a cause, remember?
Yeah, that was good.
And so then, what did Saul do for David? Where were the Israelites? When these Philistines, if the giant came out, how long did he come out? How long did Goliath come out? How long did Goliath come out? How many days?
Every
day. I think about 40 days, something like that. We're checking that for sure, but I think 40 days. And what was his threat to the Israelites? What did he say? What was his proposition?
Well, he was trying to bargain with them. He says, let's have... One of you guys fight me. Whoever wins.
We'll be your slaves. So when David came upon the scene, what did David ask about the situation?
I don't remember, but he said,
"Who is this man? I think he asked the question. Who's this Goliath? Who's this man? This Goliath?" And what did Saul then suggest? Did David volunteer to...
Uncircumcised Philistine.
Uncircumcised Philistine. What did Saul suggest? Well, now that David said, I'll be glad to fight him. What did Saul suggest to David?
Take my armor. Put my armor on you.
Take your armor. What did David say about the armor?
No,
is approved.
He's not tested. So he put this armor aside. What did he take with him to fight the Goliath?
The slingshot.
Slingshot.
And five stones.
Five smooth stones and faith in the Lord. Yes, what?
Didn't he say something about the paw of the lion and the bear?
The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion will deliver me out of this uncircumcised flesh. Something like that.
Because he killed lions and bears when he killed the sheep.
Yes.
With a slingshot.
Exactly right.
So now, kind of slingshot that we
why did David bring five smooth stones instead of just one? Some have speculated. Why? Why do you think they speculated?
There wasn't a ban on how many stones you can have in a slingshot.
that's a good question.
Yeah.
How many brothers did Goliath have?
Yes, four.
And four other brothers. So there are five giants. So that's what some people speculate. One for each other, in case the brothers would go after him for killing his other brother.
Yeah.
They'd have the other stones. So anyhow. And was David a good shot or a bad shot?
Excellent.
Now, Goliath had armor. He had his armor bearer, had armor here, his helmet. Where do you think the stone hit?
Forehead.
Probably the forehead somewhere where it was not protected. Hey, Bill.
Armor, after that incident, armor was changed. All of the head armor incorporated after that. A piece of the helmet would come down and cover the nose.
Huh. That's interesting. Where'd you pick that up?
He
knows everything.
Art museum.
Art museum, okay.
Yeah, they've got a whole room over there full of armor.
That's interesting. Yeah, Tammy? Oh,
this is the verse that you were looking for. So, 1 Samuel 17:37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee."
Thank you. 1 Samuel 17:37. Now, we were told Thursday night at Wendy's what a leatherneck was. That's the name for the Marines, the old Marine called leathernecks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suppose that he told us that came from?
This is one of the customers that I started a conversation
She started a conversation that she always does every time I go to Wendy's. And what did he say a leatherneck was?
Eternal.
He says when they didn't have guns but a lot of spears and thrusts and so on, the Marines put leather all up their necks so that when they sliced with a sword, they wouldn't cut and kill themselves. But it would protect their neck. So that's how they had leather. That's why they call it leather. You told us that. It's interesting.
So
talk about armor, Bill. That's the more armor, meaning the leather around the neck so it wouldn't get sliced with the sword. Pardon me?
We learned stuff at Wendy's. He learns at the art museum.
That information that I got, that was from somebody who was working over there at the art museum.
Oh, is that right?
No sign over there that tells you that.
Oh.
But I'd also seen it in videos.
But did they say it was after David slew Goliath?
Yes.
That's when they made the change?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They said that?
Yep.
That's interesting when they made the change.
Okay.
That's why they changed the design of the armor.
Huh.
Huh. They
all right.
David.
So that's David. He slew the lion, then of course he had problems. He also slew the wife of Uriah the Hittite.
Slew Uriah.
And kept Bathsheba.
Killed a lot of Philistines.
So he had lots of problems. And
That's what he was supposed to do.
But his heart was after God's heart.
Yeah. How does
it say?
Man after God's own heart. That's right. So he had his ups and downs, but still God. In fact, in the future, what's going to happen to David?
He's
going to
reign with Christ.
He'll be a joint co-regent with the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium.
He's going to
take the throne of the Father David and Christ. According to Ezekiel, apparently, David will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David. That'd be a co-regent. So, David is got something in the future as well as the present.
I really loved him, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Now it's time to go, but we have one more. Samuel. What about Samuel?
He's nice. His mother
was. He's asked your God. And who is his mom and dad? Who are his mom and dad?
Hannah and Elkanah.
And what did they do about the little boy? They prayed for a little son. They didn't have a son. Did the Lord answer prayer?
Yes.
Hannah prayed, and the Lord answered. And that's why Samuel, Shama, to ask of God, was his name, Samuel. And so, where'd she take him when he was old enough?
To the temple.
To the temple.
With Eli and all those wicked sons.
Yes. It's a horrible thing, wasn't it? Eli was a terrible high priest, and his sons slept with the women of the congregation, and then they stole the money, stole the offerings. They were wicked.
They drank.
And what about Samuel? What did he do as far as his children are concerned?
He didn't reprimand the kids either.
So just like Samuel, excuse me, like Eli's sons. And so as a result, what did God say when the time came to make more judges of Samuel? Samuel was a judge.
Your son's not going to be it.
The people complained.
People complained. They wanted a king. So Samuel was all right up until a point, and the Lord used him. But he's a man of faith, but he didn't take care of his children. Any other comments or questions? We'll stop right here at verse 32. We'll take up Lord willing, verse 33. Next time. Any other comments or questions before we close? Finally got the time here. All right, let's close. Close the word. Our Father, we do thank you for these, the hall of faith. Various people and men and women that are mentioned. We thank you, Lord, that thou hast made attention to them, drawn attention to them. And Lord, help us to be such that thou wouldst appreciate what we do if we're saved and born again Christians, that we may be part of thy hall of faith, even though we're never mentioned by any man or woman or child, that thou dost keep account at the judgment seat of Christ. May we hear thy voice saying to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Take care of us, Lord. Go with us. Bring us back on Thursday for Bible study. And take care of those that are listening by other means as well. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.